Let's turn to Romans chapter 12. I'm going to read verses 1 through 8. Romans chapter 12. I'm going to read verses 1 through 8. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we being many are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having them gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth the exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it well with simplicity, he that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Let's turn to Ephesians 4. We're going to read verse 14. Ephesians 4, verse 14. That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men, and cunningness, craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. It is common for people to take the easy way, the path of least resistance. They allow themselves to be blown along with the prevailing culture wind, whether in fashion, sports, art, music, politics, or even sadly, ethics and morals. Taking no thought of their course or direction, they follow along with the current trends because it's easier to go with the flow. When bad things happen, or when they realize that they have ended up somewhere that they never imagined they would be, instead of deeply considering the course of their lives, many merely shrug their shoulders and call it fate or circumstance. In doing this, they say that they are ruled by the swirling winds of society around them. Rather than exercising control of their lives, they allow their trends to direct their journeys through life. At one time or another, we too have been affected by what's happening in the world. We have allowed ourselves to be driven by the prevailing winds of this society and its standards. Whether we admit it or not, we have been affected by our culture's television, movies, fashions, politics, billboards, or even religion. We have been called to come out of this world. Let's turn to Revelations 18. Revelations chapter 18, verse 4. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of here, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues. God wants us to find a course contrary to the prevailing and normal way of life that seems right to those in the world. Let's turn to Proverbs 14. Proverbs 14, verse 12. Proverbs 14, chapter 14, verse 12 tells us, "There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." What happens when we try to intervene and we try to do God's will? Let's turn to Genesis chapter 27. These story or events we're all familiar with. Genesis chapter 27, we'll start with verse 6. "And Rebekah spake unto Jacob, her son, saying, Behold, I heard thy father speak unto Esau, thy brother, saying, Bring me venison and make me savory meat, that I may eat and bless thee before the Lord before my death. Now therefore, my son, obey my voice according to that which I command thee. Go now to the flock and fletch me from thence two good kids of the goats, and I will make them savory meat for thy father, such as he loveth. And thou shalt bring it to thy father, that he may eat and that he may bless thee before his death. And Jacob said to Rebekah, his mother, Behold, Esau, my brother, is a hairy man, and I am a smooth man. My father peradventure will feel me, and shall seem to him as a deceiver, and I shall bring a curse upon me, and not a blessing. And his mother said unto him, Upon me be thy curse, my son, only obey my voice, and go fetch me them. And he went and fetched and brought them to his mother. And his mother made savory meat, such as his father loved. And Rebekah took goodly raiment of their oldest son, Esau, which were with her in the house, and put them upon Jacob, her younger son. And she put the skins of the kids of the goats upon his hands and upon the smooth of his neck. And she gave the savory meat and the bread which she had prepared into the hand of her son Jacob. And he came unto his father and said, My father. And he said, Here am I. Who art thou, my son? And Jacob said to his father, I am Esau, thy firstborn. I have done according as thou badest me. Arise, I pray thee, sit and eat of my venison, that thy soul may bless me. And Isaac said unto his son, How is it that thou hast found it so quickly, my son? And he said, Because of the Lord thy God brought it to me. And Isaac said unto Jacob, Come near, I pray thee, that I may feel thee, my son, whether thou be my very son Esau or not. And Jacob went unto Isaac, his father, and felt him, and said, The voice is Jacob's voice, but the hands are the hands of Esau. And he discerned him not, because his hands were hairy as his brother's, Esau's hands. So he blessed him. And he said, Art thou my very son Esau? And he said, I am. And he said, Bring it near to me, and I will eat of my son's venison, that my soul may bless thee. And he brought it near to him, and he did eat, and he brought him wine, and he drank. And his father Isaac said unto him, Come near now, and kiss me, my son. And he came near and kissed him, and he smelled the smell of the raiment, and blessed him, and said, See, the smell of my son is as the smell of a field which the Lord hath blessed. Therefore God give thee of the dew of heaven and the fatness of the earth and plenty of corn and wine. Let people serve thee and nations bow down to thee. Be Lord over thy brethren, and let thy mother's son bow down to thee. Cursed be everyone that curseth thee, and blessed be he that blesseth thee. And it came to pass, as soon as Isaac made an end of blessing Jacob, and Jacob was yet scarce gone out from the presence of Isaac his father, that Esau his brother came in from his hunting. And he had also made savory meat and brought it unto his father. And he said unto his father, let my father arise and eat of his son's venison, that thy soul may bless me. And Isaac his father said unto him, who art thou? And he said, I am thy son, thy firstborn Esau. And Isaac trembled very exceedingly and said, who? Where is he that hath taken venison and brought it me, and I have eaten all of before thou camest, and have blessed him? Yea, and he shall be blessed. And when Esau heard the words of his father, he cried with a great and exceeding bitter cry, and said unto his father, bless me, even me also, O my father. And he said, thy brother came with subtlety, and hath taken away thy blessing. These verses from Genesis tells a story of how Rebekah talked Jacob into deceiving his father so that he, not Esau, would receive the blessing. But Rebekah had forgotten what God had already promised, that Jacob would inherit the rights of the father and be blessed. Rebekah could not wait for God's promise, and so she decided to take matters into her own hands. But her scheming and devising brought only heartache, not only for her, but for her whole family. How often are we guilty of this very behavior? How often do we grow impatient for God to act, and we decide to take matters into our own hands? Genesis, same chapter 27, will continue through 46, the rest of the story of Rebekah's deception. And he said, it is not he rightly named Jacob, for he has supplanted me these two times. He took away my birthright, and behold, now he hath taken away my blessing. And he said, thou hast not reserved a blessing for me. And Isaac answered and said unto Esau, behold, I have made him thy lord, and all his brethren have I given to him for servants. And with corn and wine have I sustained him. And what shall I do now unto thee, my son? And Esau said unto his father, hast thou but one blessing, my father? Bless me, even me also, O my father. And Esau lifted up his voice and wept. And Isaac his father answered and said unto him, behold, thy dwelling shall be the fatness of the earth, and of the dew of heaven from above. And by the sword shalt thou live, and shalt thou serve thy brother, and it shall come to pass, when thou shalt have the dominion, that thou shalt break his yoke from off thy neck. And Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing wherewith his father blessed him. And Esau said in his heart, the days of the mourning for my father are at hand. Then will I slay my brother Jacob. And these words of Esau, her elder son, were told to Rebekah, and she sent and called Jacob, her younger son, and said unto him, behold, thy brother Esau is touching thee, doth comfort himself, purposing to kill thee. Now therefore, my son, obey my voice, and arise. Flee thou to Laban, my brother, to Haran, and tarry with them a few days, until thy brother's fury turn away, until thy brother's anger turn away from thee, and he forget that which he hath done to him. Then I will send, and I will fetch thee from thence. Why should I be deprived also of you both in one day? And Rebekah said to Isaac, I am weary of my life because of the daughters of Heth. If Jacob take a wife of the daughters of Heth, such of these which are the daughters of the land, what good shall my life do me? Rebekah had failed to trust and believe and the promised blessing that God had given her. Rebekah thought she had to do something. As a result, she never saw Jacob again. Jacob had to flee in terror of his brother to his family members, which was, we know, is Laban's home in Haran, who in turn ended up deceiving him. Her family was torn apart, her sons became enemies, and her whole life was changed, because she felt it necessary to take matters into her own hands. how different her life could have been if she waited patiently for the promised blessing. Let's turn to Psalms 37. Psalms 37, verses 1 through 11. Psalms 37, 1 through 11. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as a green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil, for evildoers shall be cut off. But those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Yea, thou shalt diligently consider his place, and it shall not be. But the meek shall inherit the earth, and shall delight themselves in abundance of peace. Let's turn over to Genesis. Back to Genesis chapter 15. Genesis 15, we're going to read verses 1 through 6. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, Fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. And Abram said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless, and the steward of my house is this Eleazar of Damascus? And Abram said, Behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is mine heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, This shall not be thine heir, but he shall that come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. And he brought him forth abroad, and said, Look now toward heaven, and tell the stars, if thou able to number them. And he said unto him, So shall thy seed be. And he believed in the Lord, and he counted it for righteousness. Turn over to the next chapter, Genesis 16, starting with verse 1. Now Sarai, Abraham's wife, bare him no children, and she had a handmaid, an Egyptian, whose name was Hagar. And Sarai said unto Abram, Behold now, the Lord hath restrained me from bearing. I pray thee, go unto my maid, it may be that I may obtain children by her. And Abram hearkened to the voice of Sarai. And Sarai, Abram's wife, took Hagar, her maid, the Egyptian, after Abram had dwelt 10 years in the land of Canaan, and gave her to her husband, Abram, to be his wife. And he went into Hagar, and she conceived. And when she saw that she had conceived, her mistress was despised in her eyes. And Sarai said unto Abram, My wrong be upon thee. I have given my maid unto thy bosom. And when she saw that she had conceived, I was despised in her eyes. The Lord judge between me and thee. Then Abram said unto Sarai, Behold, thy maid is in thy hand to do her as it pleaseth thee. And when Sarai dealt hardly with her, she fled from her face. The angel of the Lord found her by a fountain of water in the wilderness, by the fountain in the way to Shur. And he said, Hagar, Sarai's maid, whence thou camest thou, and whither wilt thou go? And she said, I flee from the face of my mistress, Sarai. The angels of the Lord said unto her, return to thy mistress and submit thyself under her hands. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, I will multiply thy seed exceedingly, that thou shalt not be numbered for multitude. The angel of the Lord said unto her, behold, thou art with child, and shalt bear a son, and shalt call his name Ishmael, because the Lord hath heard thy affliction. And he will be a wild man. His hand will be against every man, and every man's hand against him. And he shall dwell in the presence of all his brethren. And she called the name of the Lord that spake unto her, thou God seest me. For she said, I have also looked after him that seeth me. Wherefore the well was called Berlah-Harol. Behold, it is between Kadesh and Bered. And Hagar bare Abram's son, and Abram called his son's name, which Hagar bare, Ishmael. And Abram was 86 years old when Hagar bare Ishmael to Abram. Sarah was trying to take matters into her own hands. Let's turn to now, next chapter, Genesis 17. We're going to read verses 16 through 19. Genesis 17, verses 16 through 19. This is God's promise of a son. And I will bless her and give thee a son also of her. Yea, I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of people shall be of her. Then Abraham fell upon his face and laughed and said in his heart, shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old? And shall Sarah, that is 90 years old, bear? And Abraham said unto God, O that Ishmael might live before thee. And God said, Sarah thy wife shall bear thee a son indeed, and thou shalt call his name Isaac. And I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant, and with his seed after him. Let's turn to, we're going to read a few verses. Let's turn to Psalms 143. Psalms 143, verse 10. Teach me to do thy will, for thou art my God. Thy spirit is good. Lead me into the land of uprightness. Let's turn to Psalms 40. Verse 8. Psalms 40, verse 8. I delight to do thy will, O my God, yea, thy law is within my heart. Let's turn to Matthew's. Matthew's chapter 6, verse 10. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Matthew's 12. Matthew 12, verse 50. For whosoever shall do the will of my Father, which is in heaven, the same is my brother and sister and mother. Let's turn to Matthew 26. Matthew 26, verse 42. He went away again the second time and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, my will be done. Let's turn to John, chapter 5. John's chapter, John chapter 5, verse 30. I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not my own will, but the will of thy Father, which has sent me. Just a couple more. John chapter 7, verse 17. John chapter 7, verse 17. If any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. Let's turn to Acts 21. Acts 21, verse 14. And we not be persuaded, we see saying, the will of the Lord be done. And we're going to read one last one. 1 John. 1 John. Chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 through 17. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. So we find all over Scripture the will of God, of what we're supposed to do and not take things in our own hands. We're supposed to follow, let in God's time and salvation and plan work. And we're not to intervene or to change that. Let's turn to John 18, chapter 18. John chapter 18, starting with verse 1. This is another familiar. Story that we all know. When Jesus had spoken these words, he went forth with his disciples over the brook Cedron, where was a garden into which he entered and his disciples. And Judas also betrayed him, knew the place, for Jesus oft times resorted thither with his disciples. Judas then, having received a band of men and officers from the chief priests and Pharisees, cometh thither with lanterns and torches and weapons. Jesus therefore, knowing all things that should come upon him, went forth and said unto them, whom seek ye? They answered him, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus saith unto them, I am he. And Judas also, which betrayed him, stood with them. As soon as he had said unto them, I am he, they went backward and fell to the ground. Then asked him again, whom seek ye? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus answered, I have told you that I am he. If therefore ye seek me, let these go their way, that the same might be fulfilled which he spake of them which shall go, of them which thou gavest me, have I lost none. Then Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it and smote the high priest's servant and cut off his right ear. The servant's name was Malichus. Then said unto Peter, put up thy sword into the sheath. The cup which my Father hath given me, shall I not drink it? And the band of the captain and of the officers of the Jews took Jesus abound and bound him and led him away to Annas first, for he was the father-in-law to Caiaphas, which was the high priest that same year. Now, Caiaphas was he which gave counsel to the Jews that it was expedient that one man should die for the people. Just imagine for a second that you are Peter. You are friends and you love him dearly. All of a sudden, men have come to arrest your friend and take him off to an almost certain death. What do you do? Do you simply stand by and allow this to happen? Or do you try to take matters into your own hands and stop this atrocity? Peter did the only thing he could think of, try to stop Jesus from being arrested and killed. He drew a sword and cut off the ear of Malchus. Peter was ready to do battle right there in the garden to save Jesus, to save Jesus' life. While this may sound courageous or even heroic, there is a problem. His actions were not in line with God's will. God's will was for Jesus to be arrested, crucified, and then resurrected. There are many times when we feel tempted to try to step in and help God. It can be tempting to take matters into our own hands and try to force the issue, especially if we perceive that God is not taking any action on his own. Of course, just like in Peter's case, most, if not all the time, trying to step in for God ultimately leads to sin. We must trust in God to work out his plan in his own time and way. In closing, let's read 2 Thessalonians. Second Thessalonians chapter 3. Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified, even as it with you, that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith. But the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. We have confidence in the Lord touching you, that ye both do and will do the things at which we command you. And the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and to the patient waiting for Christ. Now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye withdraw yourselves from every brother that walketh disorderly and not after the tradition which he received of us. For yourselves know how ye ought to follow us, for we behave not ourselves disorderly among you. Neither do we eat any man's bread for naught, but wrought with labor and travail night and day, that we might not be chargeable to any of you, not because we have not power, but to make ourselves an example unto you to follow us. For even when we were with you, this we command you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat. For we hear that they are some which walk among you disorderly, working not all, but as busybodies. Now then that are such, we command and exhort by our Lord Jesus Christ, that with quietness they work and eat their own bread. But ye, brethren, be not weary in well doing. If any man obey not our word by this epistle, not that a man, and have no company with him, that he may be ashamed. Yet count him not as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother. Now the Lord of peace himself give you peace always by all means. The Lord be with you all. The salutation of Paul with mine own hand, which is a token in every epistle, so I write. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. We will now continue and enter into our memorial hymn, singing hymn 152, according to thy gracious word, before thine agony, this will we do, our absent Lord, we will remember thee. Hymn number 152. Orlando Ecclesia's basis of fellowship is exclusively the unamended statement of faith, and we welcome those who believe and adhere to those doctrines and commandments stated therein. Let's turn over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. First Thessalonians chapter 4, starting with verse 13, and we're going to read through chapter 5. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that the day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night, nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep in the night, and they that be drunken, are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as I also ye do. We beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the spirit. Despise not prophesying. Prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. Abstain from all appearance of evil. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and your soul and body be reserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. Brethren, pray for us. Greet all the brethren with a holy kiss. I charge you by the Lord that this epistle be read unto all the holy brethren. The grace of Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. We come now, before we read the account, to remember our Lord and Master, our Savior, our brother, that we come to remember and never forget the sacrifices that he made. And he made them willingly. And he knew the will of God. He knew what was going to happen and how it was going to happen. And he endured the pain when they nailed him to the stake and they beat him. He did that willingly. He was that perfect lamb for us and also for himself. He did it with no hesitation. So as we come to this morning to remember him and remember the sacrifices that he made, we'll now turn to the account in 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, starting with verse 23. I received of the Lord, at which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner, also, he took the cup. When he had supped, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do ye oft as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat of this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. Let a man examine himself, So let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. We call him Brother Lucas to give thanksgiving for the bread.
Almighty Heavenly Father, we come to your throne of grace today in remembrance of thy Son and his sacrifice. We see in the symbol the bread.
Calling Brother Paul to give thanksgiving for the wine.
Heavenly Father, we humbly bow before thee at this time, thankful for this day of life, and especially grateful for this opportunity to come around this table. Remember thy Son, who is perfect obedient and willing sacrifice. We ask Heavenly Father for thy blessings upon this cup of wine, the symbol of the shed blood, for the remission of our sins, if we will remain faithful in thee. We ask Heavenly Father that you will watch over us this day, and those unable to attend, and all those throughout the brotherhood that are in need of thy love and thy mercy. Forgive us for our sins, for we know that this is able through this great sacrifice. We thank you for our Savior, and we pray for his soon return. And it might even be this day, and we will all be found working in the vineyard when he comes. And we pray and ask for all these things through Jesus' name, our soon coming King. We will close with the singing of hymn 64. Lord, dismiss us with thy blessing. Fill our hearts with joy and peace. Let us each, the truth possessing, bear its fruits and run the race. Hymn number 64. We get Brother Matt to close with a word of prayer.